Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts, and I'm excited to kick off season two of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every month, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, just search for We Are REC. We are having a conversation today with Felicia Ainsa. She is the Director of Economic Development for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Felicia, thank you for taking some time today to have a conversation with me. I'm curious, Director of Economic Development, that sounds like really fancy and really important. What is it that you do at Rappahannock Electric?
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm happy to be here. So a lot of what I do is dealing with commercial accounts. So we're dealing with businesses already within our footprint who are customers, who are member owners of REC, and then also those who are considering the area, but they need to know more about the electricity, the community, reliability, all of those kinds of things. So I serve as their point person to answer all their questions, to make sure they're connected with all the right people and that they can find those answers. And then we're hopefully building a really strong business case of why they want to be in our community and that this is the next place for them to go ahead and establish roots.
Now, did you have a background in this before you came to REC?
I did. I've done this a couple years now. Ironically, my career started off, I had my undergrad in international law and diplomacy and then moved to a small rural town. There wasn't much international anything going on. So I actually started working with business owners. So small family-owned businesses, kind of Main Street businesses. And I just loved helping them because they were good at what they did, but they weren't necessarily good at the rest of business. So I would completely wrap their services of marketing, HR, admin, translating, graphic design, web design, whatever they needed. And that started me jumping and zipping in and out of different companies and different industries and really getting to know them and know their needs. And so from that business consulting, then I actually ended up in workforce development, helping businesses find their employees. And then from there, I jumped over to economic development. So I've actually done it for 4 years now. I was working for a locality, working on all their business retention and expansion. So taking care of the businesses already in a community, helping them resolve things, find problems, fix them, find people, and just make all those connections so that all the barriers between them and success were as smooth as we could make them.
So this really does make you a resource, not only to Rappahannock Electric, but also to the businesses that you're working with who are working with REC, because you can help them in so many different ways.
Absolutely. Encourage them to reach out to me, questions, issues, whatever they need. And then also as a resource for the localities, because we know a lot of times, especially in the smaller localities, they don't have a whole suite of economic developers. It might be one person who's also doing that and Main Street or tourism. We know that they have to wear multiple hats. So that's something that actually REC was specifically looking for, was an experienced economic developer with local, you know, county level experience, so that I can be that extra set of hands. If something's big's coming down the pike or they have questions or they're trying to talk to the community or maybe a board of supervisors about an idea, that I can be that sounding board, that extra set of hands, and just kind of help give some guidance that things can go through as smooth as possible.
When I saw the press release that had announced that you had been named the new Director of Economic Development, part of me was like, why does Rappahannock Electric need an economic development director? And then the other part of me was like, well, this isn't surprising because they are so community-based that it did kind of make sense in a way, but I just didn't understand what economic development meant for REC.
Well, most people don't even know what economic development is, period. But yes, that community-mindedness is absolutely what drew me to REC when I was considering this and they were talking to me about making a career switch. Thankfully, I was in a position where I could afford to take my time for whatever the next position was and to be picky and selective about where I go. And everyone I talk to and ask questions about, you know, what do you know about REC? Who are they? What do they do? What are the employees like? And across the board, everybody told me, I've never met an REC employee who complains about his job.
Me either.
That blew my mind. I'm like, there's employers like that who exist.
Right.
Like, I need to know more. So just that community mindedness, that care, that culture that they have, it's absolutely been amazing. But then economic development itself, it's all about helping a community reach its goals. It's about bringing prosperity. It's about diversifying your industry so that if one industry's up and while another one's down, on the whole, the community's still good. It's about getting good jobs that can actually sustain your family so that you can stay where you want to live and you're not forced to have to go and move and live somewhere else in order to, you know, actually be able to feed the kids and keep the roof over their head. It's about creating opportunity and just, if you want this, you could stay in your own town and you could do it. So that's about a lot of what we do. And I find it very exciting and very interesting.
I can imagine that a lot of county administrators and town and city managers are overjoyed that now you have this role and are going to be some support to them, because I would guess that those governmental agencies, the localities, and their economic development communities get a lot of calls, and they're always dealing with, hey, we're looking at opening up a new plant here, or we want to relocate this here. Do they contact you directly? How does that work?
It comes through all sorts of different ways. So sometimes it's states, it's regions, it's localities. Sometimes it's the companies themselves reaching directly out to me. A lot of times, especially with data center projects, we are the first step, because if we cannot support them with the levels of power that they need, there's no point in even asking all of the other questions, because it's just not going to work. So it's a lot of fun. I've been really warmly received by everyone, because usually when these requests do come through, not only do they need answers to these 2,700 questions, I needed them yesterday by noon. So just being able to divide and conquer, and that they know that for my portion of it, that they have solid facts, it's reliable, it's professional, it's presented well, it takes more stress off of their end so that they can get it done and they can get it done faster.
Now, do you manage the entire state of Virginia? That's a lot of statistics and a lot of information you've got to keep in your head, I would guess.
22 counties. That's enough. Wow. Yeah. So REC footprint spans across 22 counties.
So when they call, and of course, like you said, they want to know now or needed to know yesterday, trying to figure out, okay, well, that's going to be in this county, which has this going on, and this is where we are. You really have to be able to pull things together pretty quickly and know what you're talking about right from the go.
Yes, a lot of research, a lot of statistics. I've done so much time just burying myself in phone calls and website searches, but the local partners are also absolutely fantastic. It has been interesting and challenging doing this kind of a job during a pandemic, because I'm not allowed out past my mailbox yet. So I've been doing all of this in just virtual means and doing the best that we can. But I absolutely look forward to actually being able to get out, to go through the whole territory and to be on hands to actually see the assets and the features and the communities that we're talking about, to get to know them even better. Because anytime we can speak with passion and conviction about the places that we're talking about, that really resounds with the people. They know if you know it, or if you're just like, and they have a population of 1,701, they know the difference.
Do you think it's kind of helped you though, in a way, because you can be so much more communicative via Zoom than maybe having to be driving all over the state?
Oh, there's definitely efficiencies of not wasting and spending time of Zooming and driving and doing all these different things. But also something interesting, I've seen this repeatedly in my career. Anytime the economy starts to go down, businesses are more open to advice and input and help than they've ever been before. In the past, I might call a company and be like, no, really, want to talk with you. Hi, it's me again. Now they're answering the phones. They're talking, they're answering emails, they're being more interactive because they have the time and because they have the need. And so that's also been exciting, is that we are able to do more because people are more open to relationships and to doing things differently, because we have to do everything differently these days.
One of the things that I know a lot of people are looking at, small business owners, as well as just citizens and residents in all the different counties, is looking at their bottom line and trying to figure out, where can I save? What can I cut? How can I make it through to the next month when I have to do this whole process all over again? What kinds of things do you guys do to help them when they're looking at things like their energy bills?
One of the neat things is that REC and then our generation transmission providers, Old Dominion Electric Cooperative, ODEC, we've made smart decisions years in the past. And so because of those decisions, we're actually reaping a lot of the fruits right now. So diversifying into renewables, making smart investments, those kinds of things, which means for the last few years and for the next few years, we're projected to continue to have decreasing wholesale power costs, which is fabulous, right? I can't think of many bills that come in each month that are actually decreasing. So moving in the right direction is just really, really good. So that's been really nice. Some of the legislation that came out in 2020, the Virginia Clean Economy Act, we were already in compliance with it. So that means we don't have any extra expenses. We're not having to go through these big expensive projects and ordeals right now because we were already at the finish line. So those kinds of things are just really neat. And then also we're looking at, we have an economic development rate, and that starts at 1 megawatt of power a month in newer expanding loads. So for comparison, because who knows what a megawatt is, right? That's like a 500,000 square foot warehouse. So this is actually rather attainable. So from that size forward, any newer expanding loads, give me a call. There's things that we can do. And I'm always reminding businesses in general, anytime you're talking jobs, so that's either saving jobs or creating jobs. And anytime you're talking capital investment or importing, exporting, there is a very good chance that there is some program out there that will save you money or return money to you for the things that you're going to do. So I always encourage them, give me a call, talk to your local economic developer, let us know what your plans are 2 to 3 years out from now. And then that allows us to start finding these resources and piecing things together, giving you referrals. Small business development centers are great. SCORE is retired executives who mentor business owners. They're great. There's just so many amazing programs and resources out there. We just need to know what you need, and then we can point you in the right direction.
And I think that's the perk too, to working with some of those larger types of businesses, the data centers and that sort of thing, because they are planning 2 or 3 years in advance. They're not kind of deciding, you know, maybe next year I'll think of opening a second location. That's not how they work. So it really does make sense that you're there literally on the front lines before they've put anything down to paper.
Yeah. And it is really exciting. And it, to me, it's heartening to see how many businesses are still moving full speed ahead with all their plans that we get involved with in economic development, because that right there is an indicator of confidence and expectation that they're still planning on growing. They still see that this is going to come to an end and that they're going to have needs and that they're moving forward and they're feeling comfortable and confident in that. So that alone, just the fact that we still have stuff to do and that the pipeline is not slowing down, is a great indicator of economic confidence that the future is just right around the corner.
Now, do you have companies that have located to Virginia because of REC and what you can offer them?
Oh, yeah. We've had some great companies that have come in. And what we're strong at, we call them target industries. And you need to know what your strengths are and who's a match for you. Communities who say anyone can be successful here, not quite. We're all a better match for something more than others, right? So for us, it's manufacturing, it's data centers, it's all the supply chain, distributions, warehouses, those kinds of things, professional services, and anything agribusiness, agritourism. We have a really large concentration in that of, we have great land here and we're able to do so many things with it. So that does attract a lot of businesses. And then we have cool companies doing business here, like Equinix. They're a data center, they're a network access point, and they're doing fabulously. Data centers are really up in this environment because we need so much data and so many things are moving to the cloud. And it's just really neat to see. And then you have companies like Plow and Hearth, which are doing fabulous, and they have their headquarters in our territory, and they're able to do the retail, the headquarters, the professional jobs, the distribution out to all of their stores. They're able to successfully do these things and to continue to grow in our region. It's really nice to see.
And I know we have a lot of, at least in Warren County and even in Frederick County, a lot of industry that requires shipping and logistics and all of that warehousing. And those warehouses, like you mentioned before, are massive.
They're huge. Yes, I walked a 1 million square foot warehouse once and my feet were so sore. I'm like, this was not meant for business suit.
I'm pretty sure my Fitbit would give me an alert that it had been stolen if I tried to walk a million square foot logistic warehouse.
Absolutely. I know, I was asking him, I'm like, can I come back next time in my rollerblades? This is taking a long time. But yeah, it was interesting. One of the things that we saw when COVID first hit was that supply chains broke down, and they broke down fast, right? So think of the business school of thought for decades going into this was all about lean as possible, efficient, just enough margins, which they're trying to be responsible with their money. Absolutely understand. Did not work with the pandemic. So we saw so many things that couldn't get in and out of the country. I was working with one company that was waiting on equipment that was literally at the port in Germany. And month after month, we're delayed. It's another 2 months delay, another 3 months delay. And they couldn't open. They couldn't open because they were just getting ready to turn on the lights. And then their equipment was stuck in another country. And then think of all the things that we couldn't get and that we're all circling the grocery stores and everywhere else trying to find. All those supply chains broke down. And so now we do see a lot of reshoring of manufacturing. And we see more focus on being local and being close to your markets as possible, which is one of the nice things about our territory. I mean, we're literally right in the middle of the Eastern Seaboard. You're right between three great large cities. You have Charlottesville, Richmond, Northern Virginia, DC. You have all the talent, but then you also have all the connection of the transportation system. Within a day's drive, you're already within half of the US population. And those things now more than ever are really important to businesses, being able to resolve the issues. And they're also being more thoughtful about risk and redundancies and backup plans.
So the other big thing aside from electricity is internet. I mean, we wouldn't be able to be sitting here having this conversation, pandemic or not, if we didn't have access to the internet. How does that work with what you guys do at REC? Are you working on internet related things? Are you working with companies to try and help them expand their internet capabilities?
Yes. It's actually really fun. I see a lot of parallels about what's happening right now with broadband back to, call it 100 years ago, when a lot of the electric cooperatives were first starting. So the school of thought from the business side is you go where you have the largest concentration because you have the best chance of success. Well, unfortunately, 100 years ago, that meant a lot of rural communities weren't having electricity brought to them. Because we know, as a cooperative, we have to run a lot more miles and we have to put in a lot more structure, infrastructure, money, and everything else to reach a fewer amount of people. Well, we see the same thing happening now with broadband. Same thing. It's easier. If you run a mile in the middle of a downtown, you're going to have hundreds of counts. You run a mile in the middle of, you know, wherever, maybe not so much. So we kind of see a lot of interesting parallels. So what we're doing is we have it, we call it the FUN network. It's the fiber utility network. So that when it's all built out is going to be 820 miles of broadband. And they're running throughout our territory. We have 170,000 customers. So we have 17,000 miles of poles. We're going to start off with this original 820. And this is a fiber backbone, purposely overbuilt with dark fiber, meaning fiber that's not being used yet. It's connecting our own offices. It's connecting our infrastructure. It's helping us be more aware of what's happening out in the field so that we can be responsive to outages and different things. We get that, you know, instant feedback. But it's purposely overbuilt so that we can partner with the communities. So that can be other people who are branching off of our line and then taking out fiber to the home. It could be someone who wants to do wireless and they just need a pole to stick something right on the top of it. Whatever it is, we know that this is the next barrier to a lot of people being able to be competitive in this environment, to being able to work from home, study from home, for businesses being responsive as fast as customers expect them now, because customer expectations are definitely shifting. So we just really want to partner with people to unlock this opportunity, because we know once everyone can connect and we have that equity of internet access, then that really is the next frontier for our entire community as far as possibilities and opportunities.
So if somebody has listened to our podcast and they've been tuned into our conversation and they want more information, they want to reach out to you from an economic development perspective, they want to know more about what you're doing with internet and electricity, is there a place on the Rappahannock Electric website that they can go to get to you? Is there a place where they can go just learn more information about what we've talked about today?
Absolutely. So if you go to our website, it's myrec.coop. And then there is a business section right there on the main header. And there's a drop down that says economic development. Click on that. You're absolutely going to find me. You can also look me up on LinkedIn. I have all my contact information on LinkedIn. You can ping me a message whenever. More than happy to help to figure out what do you need and how can we resolve it and move forward. That's what I'm here for.
Well, thank you for having this conversation with me today. It's been interesting. Every time I talk with somebody from REC, kind of like you said, I've never met anybody yet. I've talked with dozens of different employees throughout the company. I've never found anybody who didn't love their job. And I've never had anybody that wasn't a good conversation. So thank you. This has been fun.
Oh, thank you, Janet.